Do you know what I'm saying? You don't want, if you can stop under extreme circumstances, such as being locked up, then guess what? You can stop. In other words, you can stop. Your flesh is not going to make you do something when you can't get to it anymore. So you make yourself not get to it anymore. It's time to grow up. God lives inside of you. You can do this. If you're not doing it, a lot of it's because you really don't want to. Now, I'm not saying that bondage isn't real, and I'm not saying that bondage isn't powerful. Where's your husband, by the way? He's really fighting addiction. And you know, we can kid about it, but it's very heavy duty. When you've given over to this stuff and you've let it rule, it definitely gets a life of its own in you. Sin takes a life of its own in you. That sin is what wants to take you to hell. That life it takes over in you wants to take you to hell. But I want you to know something. There is God inside of you, and he is bigger than that sin in you. He is bigger than that sin in you if you would get that revelation. If you would get the revelation and come in agreement with it and come in agreement with Christ and his power in you and that God himself lives inside of you, no one should have to keep sinning. But you might have to fight that demon that you befriended. You might have to say no to it. You might have to cast down imaginations. You might have to get friends to surround you and pray for you. You might have to deal with the lies and the temptations. You need to do whatever you have to do to fast it, because it's a true enemy. And that's not being a hypocrite when you try to fight and you need your brothers and sisters in the Lord to come alongside you and help you fight. But you're already a hypocrite in your own thinking if you think it's okay not to fight. And Jesus already won the battle. You just have to get that revelation. Verse 12 again. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Those who are being led by the Spirit. Those who are living sold out, Holy Ghost led lives. They don't look like the world. They don't act like the world. People should know that you are different than your coworkers if your coworkers aren't saved. People should just know that. They should really know the difference. We need to rise up and be these men and women of God. We need to be the sons of God. We're on verse 14. Now, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who are willing to put off the flesh and live according to the Spirit. But there is condemnation if you're not willing to put off the flesh. When we get in groups tonight, that's what we're doing. We're trying to help you put off the flesh. When we help you pick out tapes and CDs that'll go after your specific issue, that's what we're doing. We're trying to help you to say no to the flesh and get free from the bondage where sin has you bound. All right. Verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. You know that you're really saved if the Holy Spirit in you reveals to you that he's there. It's like you know that you know. There's a deep knowing that God lives inside of me, and he reveals himself to you, and there's a peace that passes understanding. Your life is different than the world's. And once again, one of the most frightening scriptures for those who are deceived is the scripture where Jesus says, they said, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus Christ himself says, away from me, you work of iniquity, I don't know you. In other words, away from me, you did not quit sinning. You did not quit doing the sins of your forefathers. You did not break free. And I don't know you. But they thought that they were spirit-filled. They thought that they were doing things for the kingdom of God. And how did he know that they were? What did he call out to make them see it wasn't me that you knew? Their sin. They were workers of sin. They were still in sin. And yet they thought they were so spiritual that they thought they were casting out demons. They thought they were prophesying. They thought they were doing things for God. And God says, look, you worker of sin, I don't know you. Does everybody get that? Boy, does the charismatic church need to hear that. If you are a worker of sin, You are not doing anything for the kingdom of God. You might think you're worshiping. You might think you're moving in the gifts. You might think you have all these things going on. You may be able to quote scripture that makes everybody else look slow. You may make the Jehovah Witness and the Mormon look weak in the way that you can shoot out scripture. But you know what? You can shoot out a scripture with a religious spirit faster than most people can shoot out a scripture with the Holy Ghost. Because with the Holy Ghost, it's a law that's written on your heart. It's not words that are formulated to just spew out of your mouth to try to look spiritual. It's about a concept full of the love of God and the power of God. And with it is a holy life. And this is all over the church. So God is very serious about sin. Now we need to get serious about sin. And so tonight he's trying to show us, you have to start making decisions not to live by the flesh. I'm going to say that again really close to Justin. You have to make decisions to quit living according to the flesh. Can you do that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? You have to make a decision to read your Bible every day. You have to make a decision to put on praise music and worship the Lord. You have to make a decision to die to self and not do what you want and do what God wants. Just serve other people. It's amazing. Just take one day to not have your way one time. And see what God's really asking us to do. One day. Where what anyone says, if the boss says, will you do this? Oh, yes, sir. The wife says, oh, would you do this? Oh, yeah, honey. The kids say, oh, can you do this? Oh, sure. Don't do anything for yourself. Just live a day doing something for everybody else. And get a hold of the idea of not living for self anymore. Now, I wouldn't tell your wife or your kids when you're doing this. Just begin to start thinking when there's decisions to be made or people are trying to decide something and you die to self. You have no opinion. You say, oh, I'll do whatever you want to do, whatever you need me to do, whatever you want. Not sin things. You know what I'm talking about. You'll be amazed at how much opinion you have about everything, how much yourself wants to be in charge. You did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. You need to deal with the fear in your life. You need to deal with the fear. Afraid of what's going to happen. Afraid of things. Because that fear is what keeps you bound to the enemy's lies. But that revelation that God is your father. He's your daddy and he loves you. And he'll take care of you and he'll protect you. And he'll do everything you need a daddy to do. That's the revelation you should get when Christ comes and lives in your heart. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, truly heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer together, that we may also be glorified together. For I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the coming glory to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through him subjected it on hope. That also the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that all the creation groans together and travails together until now. And not only so, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, also we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved by hope, but hope being seen is not hope. For when anyone sees, why does he also hope? But if hope for what we do not see, through patience we wait eagerly. And likewise, the Spirit also joins in to help our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. But the one searching the hearts knows what is the mind. Here we go. What is the mind of the Spirit? Because he petitions on behalf of the saints according to God. Let me tell you what he's talking about here. He's saying in this life, because of the fall of man, because of Satan, because of all the demonic things that come at us, we will constantly be in a place of suffering. We will constantly be groaning. We will constantly saying, God, when do I get my glorified body? God, when is all this violence going to stop? When is the world not going to be so horrible? When am I going to hear you more clear and see you face to face? And there's in this earth, there comes this crying out to those who know God, saying, God, things have got to change. God, give us grace. Give us mercy. God himself is watching us, and he knows that we don't know everything. He knows we can't understand everything. We can't see everything. But we have hope. We earnestly expect that heaven is real. We earnestly believe that God's going to come through. We earnestly cry out that God's power is going to be revealed. We earnestly cry out to see the sons and daughters of God revealed, and that the things on the earth be put in right order, and that people get set free. And there needs to be that earnest expectation in your heart, that desire to see Christ glorified, that desire to see God's will come on the earth and come in your own life. And so he's saying here in verse 26, the Spirit himself will pray through you. The Spirit himself will begin to, and this is part of what we were talking about, building yourself up in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. Just sit down sometimes and just let the Holy Spirit utter through you and speak through you and groan through you and cry out for justice, cry out for the lost, cry out for God to bring healing. Just begin to really get serious spending time in the Spirit. He says here, 27, but the one, the Lord, searching the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he petitions on behalf of the saints according to God. But we know that to the ones loving God, here we go, to the ones loving God, all things work together for good, to those being called according to purpose, because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. So it shows us here that even as we're in this battle called life, and we're crying out, we're facing things, we don't understand everything, you know, Lord, you know, why am I sick? Why didn't you heal me, Lord? I felt your presence and your power. What's going on with this, God? And then I'm constantly going deeper in God, trying to understand his ways, trying to know him, dying to the flesh, interceding, praying, having the Holy Spirit cry out through you, just getting deeper in God and deeper in God, always expecting the word of God to come to pass, always expecting God to come through, having that hope, that earnest expectation. And even knowing that the Holy Spirit knows how to pray through us. He knows we don't understand everything, but he does. As we tell him, he's right there. The Lord Jesus is right by the Father, praying for us, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit's in us. He's crying out to the Father, revealing things that we don't even understand. God is on our side. God is trying to get us through this darkness. God is trying to get us into this place of death to the flesh and life in the Spirit. He's trying to get us to die to self and live in him so that he can be glorified. And it's going to change our lives. It's going to change our lives. And we have to get the mind of Christ. And we have to realize that we're just on a journey. We don't know it all. But we have a God who wants us to get his mind. He wants us to die to the flesh so that he can be glorified in us. And he's called us to be his brothers, to do those things that will glorify God. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up on behalf of us all, how will he not freely give all things to us with him? I want you to know, the devil will tell you, well, that's not for you. You know, everybody else can get baptized in the Holy Ghost, but not you. Everybody else can get free from drugs, but not you. It's not for you. God is saying, the Lord is saying in his word here, don't think like that. He didn't spare anything so that you could be free. He even had his own son die for your sins. He even had his own son punished so you could be set free from everything the enemy puts on you. Don't ever think that it wasn't accomplished for you. That's a lie from the enemy. And so God is pleading with us here to know that he will freely give you all things. He will freely give you the Holy Spirit. He will freely give you freedom from bondage. He will freely give you clarity of mind. He will freely give you the mind of Christ. He loves you. He's done everything he's ever going to do to prove to you he loves you. But you have to begin to believe it. And the way to get stronger in the things of God and to get freer from the things that hold you captive is to spend time in the Spirit. To spend time in the Spirit. To say no to the flesh. No to the flesh. You know, we looked at in Romans a couple of weeks ago, there was a spiritual law that said to the degree that you gave your body to the enemy to be his slave, to that degree, you have to surrender your body to Christ to stay above that bondage. So, man, if you were a drug addict, you know, everything you thought about was drugs. Everything you did was drugs. How you got money was drugs. It took over in many of your lives. Well, God wants you to know to the degree that that happened is that the degree that the Holy Spirit has to take over to in your life. He's got to be everything you think of. He's got to be everything you want to spend your money on. He's got to be everything you want to be involved with if you really want to get above and never go back to the bondage of the past. That's a spiritual law. Well, that's not a bad thing. All of us are called to that kind of surrender. But God is telling those who serve the devil with all their hearts that they had better surrender to God with all their heart, or they will not walk out that freedom. And boy, around this ministry, we've seen that happen over and over and over. I was actually asking God, why did these people go back to their sin? And he gave me that spiritual law, and he showed me the answer. God's laws are yes and amen. But know this, for the one who's really going after God, according to his word, all things, everything you've been through, everything you're going through, everything that comes against you, it all works together for good. If, it's a big if you love God. And if you are called, and if you're called according to his purpose. In other words, if your heart's desire is to do the purpose that God has for your life, to fulfill the purpose he has for your life, if that's your heart's desire, and if you love God, if you love him, you obey him. That's the word of God. If you love him, you obey him. So if you love him and you're obeying him and you're getting your heart right to serve him and to do what he's called for your life to do on the earth, then everything that happens to you is going to turn out okay. We got a powerful teaching on that on one of the tapes back there. Okay, at this point, I just want to go. We're going to finish this up tonight. So let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12. I'm not going to read the whole book of Romans. We have all of Romans actually preached on a tape series back there quite a few years ago. I was really surprised when I heard some of it the other day. I thought, whoa, I was really on target back then. I didn't even remember knowing all this. Romans 12:3.